Hello and welcome to a very special episode of, well, two podcasts, really. Welcome to the I Love Libby Show podcast, as well as welcome to the RevVR podcast. Now, this is a crossover. So this is kind of like when the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew did a crossover.
I've never read.
You've never read any
either,
of them?
Either. No.
Okay. So anyway, my name's Kyle, or Reverend Kyle, depending on which podcast that you already listen to. So if you already listen to the RevVR podcast, you know I am the host, Reverend Kyle. But if you are listening to the I Love Libby Show, you know that I'm Kyle.
And I'm Libby.
All right. So the way this works is I'm using both my established podcast and the RevVR podcast. It's been around for years and focuses on virtual reality and technology and things like that. Plus, I have a podcast with my wife, Libby, here, who we've been recording conversations about our life, being married for a long period of time, 19 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In July.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Because I remember our anniversary.
Do you know?
I do, for the most part.
I do too.
Okay. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to expose each of our audiences to the other podcast. So if you're listening to the I Love Libby Show and go, hey, you know, what's this other podcast that Kyle always talks about? That's the RevVR podcast. And if you're a RevVR podcast listener, then this is the I Love Libby Show, which
exactly.
Have I explained it thoroughly?
I think it's good enough.
Okay, so this will be published to both streams. Is that allowed? Are you allowed to do that? Well, with the same podcast of two different?
I think you can.
Okay. Well,
can't
I mean,
why wouldn't you be able to? It's
I don't know. Okay. It seems like something like iTunes would have a problem with or something.
Okay.
It's like, oh, the same podcast on both. Anyway, you've been on my podcast. You've been on the RevVR podcast.
A couple times. It's been a long time, though.
Yeah. Do you remember what we would usually talk about?
Oh, how, like, mainstream people in VR, people who aren't,
right,
like, studying it, and,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we exist in a world now where VR has been kind of embedded in our lives for close to 5 years now.
I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. And you've been involved and kind of on the sideline as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone to some events with me. And
I've checked out the gear.
Yeah.
A bunch of it, but not all of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I listen to your stories. I try to follow along.
Yeah.
I hear things and then I go, oh yeah, Kyle talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've, so you've been exposed, you kind of represent, and this is something that dedicated listeners of the RevVR podcast will know, is that you kind of represent mainstream consumers.
Mm-hmm.
In the respect that while you are exposed to all the VR stuff and you hear about it all the time, you don't necessarily use it.
No.
And it's not part of your world yet.
Right, right.
So, you know, as it stands right now, you know, you and I have done several podcasts where we talked about mainstream adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big pieces of this podcast is we are going to talk about a very specific book. A book that was, I was exposed to early on with the VR scene, and the book we're talking about is Ready Player One. Now, it's I'm trying to figure out how to actually even start this, because you just finished the book.
I did.
Okay.
Like 15 minutes ago.
Right. Like literally 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. You had tried to get me to read it like for a few years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like immediately after you finished it, you were like, oh, you should read this. I was like, sci-fi sounds kind of sci-fi. It's not really my thing. And then you finally like coerced our like two older daughters to read it, and your parents and probably other people.
So, you know, I feel like the book itself is a good story, number one. Number two, I think it accurately represents a potential future.
Yeah, definitely.
Where we're heading.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of a young adult.
I know. That's why I said, I was like, is this like geared like towards like teens? And you're like, yeah, I think it is.
Well, I think it's an easy read.
It's an easy read. It's yeah, it was enjoyable. It was enjoyable for me still.
Okay. Like, so you read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like a lot of books. Give us an example of like the type of book that you would normally read.
Well, I mean, I went through a period of time where mostly all I read was nonfiction. For a long amount of years.
Yeah.
Since, even while we were living out here. Yeah. And then I just recently kind of switched back to some fiction, but realistic fiction. And I mean, some of it, I guess you could say, is kind of girly. Like, yeah.
Are we talking like Fabio on the cover and romance novels?
No, not like those. Like
Quivering Members and all that kind of thing.
I mean, like, it's nice when a little bit of that's tossed in here and there. But no, it's not like the main
point.
No. Just all kinds of, some other things, classics, things that I should have read years ago that I'm catching up on. But yeah, a wide assortment. But mostly realistic fiction, if I'm going to go in the fiction
area. Okay. So you like believable stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I think it's critical that we establish that you like believable stories.
And yeah, there have been a lot of things where I'm like, movies and books where I'm like, okay, I like the idea of that. And then they take it too far into that sci-fi area where it's like, you had me and then you lost me.
So sci-fi and fantasy are two genres that you don't like.
I know. And I mean, there's actually a strong dislike, not just like,
So let's dig into that further, because I really want to establish what type of mentality you were in when you decided to read this book.
You're going to make people hate me.
No. It's okay. You know, I mean, you and I have been married for, 19 years. What type of person can stay married to a nerd, a geek, a sci-fi nut?
I don't know. They say opposites attract.
Okay.
Right. I think there's a little bit of truth to that, honestly.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
If you're like exactly the same person, I think it would mess with things in the long run.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly why, but...
So I obviously like all the sci-fi stuff. Star Wars, Star Trek. Do you have a preference, Star Wars versus Star Trek?
Neither.
I
mean, I don't even know what I would pick because no.
Like if somebody held a gun to your head and said, pick one, Star Trek or Star Wars.
I guess I'd pick Star Wars because Yoda's kind of cute.
Okay. You've not enjoyed or seen any of the Harry Potter movies.
No. Oh, okay. I saw the first movie. But, yeah.
Yeah, you're not a Harry Potter fan.
No.
So when the kids and I were all reading the books.
Yeah.
And then seeing the movies.
And you, like, tried to even make me feel left out. It still didn't work. Like, I didn't feel left out. It's fine. You can like that all you want.
So you're not going to succumb to the peer pressure?
No.
No.
No. Oh, yeah, never.
Pretty stubborn about that kind of thing. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit.
No.
Have you read any of the books?
I like when they make fun of it in other movies.
Okay. One ring to rule them all. Now, you do like Kevin Smith.
I do.
Okay. And not just because he has a somewhat resemblance to me.
Yeah.
we've established that you like Kevin Smith stuff, but how do you watch his movies and then not remember or know or acknowledge some of the references?
See, that's thing is, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times I do understand the references, even though it's not something I know enough by listening to you and seeing the stuff you're into to be able to follow along and,
so context
and know
clues.
What's going on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't really, you don't feel lost when you're watching those movies.
Well,
and
I don't watch the movies, but
the Kevin Smith movies.
Oh, okay, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right.
You don't get lost.
No.
You don't go, wow, I didn't understand that reference.
I know enough of the highlights of the movies. Yeah.
What about like Avengers?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Not even like the Iron Man movies?
Like, no. Like,
really?
It would be torture to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever read a comic book?
No.
Okay. Now see, it sounds like I'm trying to tear you up
there,
but
I've looked at a comic book. And, like, it's just, I need to read something, like, line after line after line. Like, all the jumble, like, some stuff's over here, some stuff's over there. Like, you read this first, but it's just not relaxing.
Okay. Okay. When you watched Smallville with us.
I did. And I loved it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, it just took a turn for the worse, in my opinion.
So, wait a minute. Why was Smallville different?
I don't know. It had this, like, nice little feel at the beginning. Kind of that. I think there was a little bit of, like, a little romance to it. A little bit of, like, Superman history, which I can appreciate a little bit of that, I guess. Okay. And, like, just, like, the original, like, when they were in the town, in the high school, it reminded me of other things that I liked, I guess. And, like, the Freak of the Week, I guess that's what they were calling it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, it was, it gave the same feel that other shows in the past had given. And I liked it. And then it just got really weird. It got really comic booky, maybe?
Okay, like, okay.
Did in your opinion?
I think they tried to add, like, this, like, arcing story where
the kids got too old. You only had a certain amount of years, and it's like if you were going to continue the show, you had to do something else. But I just kind of lost interest.
Well, Smallville also had that, when they started that show, they had a rule, no tights, no flights.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
Remember? Actually. They were never going to show Clark, you know, Tom Welling,
yeah,
playing, you know, in the Superman getup. And even in the...
Spoiler
alert, if you haven't seen the season finale of season 10 of Smallville, but... they did finally put him in it, but they never actually showed him, like, the whole getup.
Okay.
It was all, some of it was really far away in CG, and they showed him ripping his shirt, that iconic ripping the shirt open and showing the, but they never really put him, like, Tom Welling, there's not a picture anywhere that I've ever seen of Tom Welling standing there from the show dressed as Superman.
Yeah, okay.
So... what we're trying to establish here, because I don't want it to sound like I'm ripping you up and going, like sci-fi. She doesn't like fantasy. It's just not a genre that you don't like.
Yeah. I can't force myself to.
No.
Like, if you would drag me to a movie or, you know, you're like, just watch it with me. Just watch it with me. Like, I've tried and tried, and I just completely lose all interest, and I just can't even pay attention.
You and I have always had a love for... books, movies, you know, all sorts of things, media that we share.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of stuff where we diverge.
Yeah.
Where you like some things.
Right.
I like other things.
Right.
The kids, as they have grown up, I have kind of embedded in them some of the things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think our kids have actually seen some of the newer Star Wars movies at the theater with their friends.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've never sat down with them and said, hey, we're going to watch all 8, you know, or 10 Star Trek movies together.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. They don't have any interest in that.
See, so I think I've instilled upon them enough.
Right.
Of the sci-fi fantasy
stuff.
They
like more of it than I do. They like Harry Potter and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, some of those, do you say Marvel movies?
Yeah. They,
yeah, yeah.
They like the Marvel movies.
They do.
Movies. Yeah.
And again... there's not like a love for it though, because there's sometimes where they've made comments like, I could take it or leave it. Like, I'll watch it. I can watch it without like falling asleep, but it's just okay. So yeah, there still are like a little bit of their like typical stereotypical girl coming through that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lean more in that
direction. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah.
So, and even the younger ones, I think, are kind of following that trend of, you know, I can be geeky, but I can be cheeky too.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Did your parents, so you have a sister, an older sister, and then you have your parents and, you know, kind of a smaller family.
Yeah.
Any of them into sci-fi fantasy? I mean, did you grow up liking
any of it? My dad likes some sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah.
So, my mom, I guess, like, some of the TV shows, they, like, watched, like, The X-Files and things like that.
Okay.
A couple of things that were, like, in that kind of
But you didn't watch The X-Files?
No. Like, I would walk into the room sometimes and be like, what is it? Yeah, and then walk back out, you know. But yeah, so my mom watched that with him. So yeah, I mean, he likes some of that. Like, he likes Buffy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he liked Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that count for you? Do you like vampires and zombies?
No, I don't like either
Dead,
of those things either.
None of that?
Yeah, it just seems really boring.
Okay. Okay. And you don't watch Game of Thrones?
No. Huh. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing all the genitalia that I've heard about.
Well, of course, yes. Game of Bones. I think we've really seriously, like, solidly cemented the fact that you are not the target demographic for Ready Player One.
I guess not.
Okay. Like, you don't fit into that category of people who would read Ready Player One on their own, discover it, and go, hey, what's this about?
There's no way you read. There's no way. If you hadn't, like, said, come on, and then the movie comes out, and then you're getting all excited, and like, oh, I want to go see this together with the whole family, and then I'm like, okay, so I really want to, like, know what's going on before I get there. And I was like, okay, I promise, after I finish my, like, last book I'm on, after I finish that book, I promise I will read it. So,
yeah,
but there's no way I would have touched it without your
coercion.
Yeah.
I came home from one of the, I don't know, expos or convention. I think it was Oculus Connect 2 or 3 or something. They gave everybody a copy of the book. And so we had a copy kind of floating around for a while. And I think, didn't I end up giving it to my mother?
Yeah. One time when they visited, I think she took it home with her. Yeah.
Right, right. So, but I had obtained the audiobook that I read the book. I read the book and then I listened to it and I've listened to it a couple times. And then I gave it to the girls and then the girls read the book. And then, you know, and so the audio and the physical version of the book is floating around our house. You have recently learned to like books on tape because you can multitask.
Right. I can clean the house, do the dishes, cook dinner. I, you know, at the end of the night when you're laying in bed and you don't want to go to sleep, but your eyes are like too tired to stay open. It's relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you've listened to dozens of books on tape. Well, at this point. Well, a dozen, maybe 10.
No,
eight,
couple? Like maybe 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're slow.
Well, okay.
you were exposed to the wonderful Wil Wheaton.
Yeah.
Who is the person reading the book. Do you know who Wil Wheaton is?
The little boy in Stand By Me.
Okay. What else?
Well, he's on Big Bang Theory from time to time.
Right. But he has become a cultural kind of figurehead, I guess is the best word. He is cool geek. You know, he's the kind of person that it's like, wow, I'm a geek and I know who he is and he's cool, you know, and he's cool to follow on Twitter and he's cool to follow, you know, media wise, he's present. He does a lot of podcasts himself. He's always on other podcasts. You know, he is embedded in the geek culture. Did you notice that he was mentioned?
I did.
Okay, so.
You were like, when he said his name, like, I almost wanted to, like, hear, like, a giggle, but.
like, you wanted him to laugh at himself. Ernest Cline is the author of Ready Player One, and he is, and I'm starting to get the idea that he is truly, like, a geek's geek, like, a nerd's nerd, you know, he gets it. You know, I wonder if somebody else, and I'll just pick some random, you know, like Dean Koontz or Dan Brown or, you know, one of these other authors, if they had to, if they wanted to write a book about geek culture, do you think they would have had to do a whole bunch of research?
I don't know. I don't know what else they, what are their other interests are.
I don't know. Right. I mean, when I read this book, I can feel that. Ernest Cline.
The passion.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So you got that too.
Yeah.
Okay. And then to have Wil Wheaton read it and then have himself mention it. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Now, Ernest Cline, is this, how old is he? Like, I didn't even think to ask.
Yeah. He's about my age.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey, you know what? We should ask. Hey, Google, how old is Ernest Cline?
Ernest Cline is 45 years old.
Oh, okay. So he's a couple years older than me then. Okay. But he would have been perfect to grow up during that period of time to be
an 80s kid. Well, my sister's 45.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, he actually, Ernest Cline in real life, drives around a DeLorean.
Oh, really?
That has Ecto 88 as his, you know, and he's like, the car that you hear Parzival driving in the book, that's Ernest
Cline. Based
Clyde's.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You came to terms with the idea of needing to read the book.
Right.
How much of that, and we're going to really get into the nitty gritty here. Uh-huh. How much of that was because you knew a movie was coming out?
Well, right. Yeah. Because you had tried to get me to read this for a couple years at least. Yes. And you periodically would bring it up. Like, you really need to read that. You really... And you... Yeah. You'd bug me quite a bit. So, the fact that... Yeah, I guess, okay... For once, I didn't, like, want to, like, have you go to the movies without me. And I wanted to be a part of it. And also, but, yeah, I usually don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, normally you don't.
I don't know.
How many Harry Potter books did I read and then go see the movie?
A lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And I brought the kids with me.
Yeah.
And we would go and see it with my whole family.
Yeah. I don't know. There's what...
You'd stay home?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would just have fun with your, you know...
Yeah, that is interesting.
Have fun playing with your wands. You know, okay, you tried to get it from the library.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this. So, this book came out in, I don't know, like 2011 or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
What you had said.
Okay. It's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. You could have probably gone to the library anytime you wanted to last couple of years and checked it out, no problem. Right.
Especially with all of the digital copies. I like to read a lot on my tablet, too. And so, like, there's a lot of more available now because of that. So it's pretty easy to get your hands on. Yeah. So, yeah, I go to check out a copy, whether it's, like, a traditional paperback or a large print book, you know, paperback. Yeah. Or, like, digital copies, audio copies, you know, actual CDs, I think, was an option. The waiting list, I mean, it varied, but, like, the longest one, I think, was over 400.
400 people on the waiting list for the book, like, Ready Player
I don't know, for, like, something that had, like, you know, 54 copies or something. And I'm like, why even add yourself to the list? If you want to read the book that bad, and plus the movie's coming out this month.
Yeah.
Just go buy it at that point. Like,
really,
you're going to maybe be able to read it next year.
When I heard that you were going to read this book, mm-hmm. I was so excited. And, you know, I had talked to the kids about it and I had talked to, like, I got my dad to read it.
Right.
I got my mom to read it. I wanted to talk about it. And then I hear that you're reading the book and I'm like, oh, great. This is awesome. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, but I've been really reserved. I haven't talked a whole lot to you.
I know.
You about
every time
it.
You're like, where are you? And then I say something. Then you like start going, oh, and I'm just like, shut up. Because
don't ruin it.
I know. Seriously. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Right. There was only one time
where
I thought you were somewhere else and I let slip one little hint. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything huge.
No. Like, I was almost there. Yeah.
There is a big hype around the movie. And I want to talk about the movie, but let's hold off on anything movie related because I mean, it's what is today, March like 4th or something like that?
I don't know,
yeah,
it's somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's the beginning of March. The movie comes out March 29th. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's focus on just the book. Okay, let's talk about the book because there are things that are in the movie that are gonna we'll talk about that here in a bit. So, the book, okay, main character,
Parzival.
Ah, but what's his name?
Wade Watts.
Wade Owen Watts. Wow. That's cool. What did you think of the character?
I liked him.
Okay.
Just your typical little dude.
Yeah.
Non-threatening.
Yeah.
Not, you know, an ass or anything like that.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, laid back.
Keeps
and,
to himself.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that there were a lot of people that read the book that could relate to him?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do this kind of like, this is kind of like a book report.
Okay.
So we're doing this kind of like in a book report form here at this point. So
I'm shooting for an A.
Yeah, you're shooting for an A. What did you think about his progression as a character from the beginning of the book to the end of the book? Did you feel like his character... because a lot of times you read books and you're like, wow, that character is really just useless and shallow and, you know, there's no growth. Mm-hmm. Did Wade grow?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I mean, do you think...
Well, I mean, like, I don't know how much you want me to say now, but yeah, from the beginning to the end, he definitely learn that there's more importance than just living a kind of secluded fake life. I mean, that there was more to it. That
fake life. What, when well, you say fake, do you mean really, VR?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Right. I didn't want to say, yeah, I mean, because he never really wanted to leave it.
Right.
Ever.
Well, I mean, he grew up in it. He basically was went to school in it.
Right, to the point where he was taking bathroom breaks.
And then going right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it would be foolish of us not to touch on this at this point. You know, the technology that is used in this book is, the book takes place in 2045 or 41, 45, something like that. You know, we're in 2018. How realistic is the technology? Because, so I think part of the problem with you and fantasy and sci-fi genre stuff is that the unbelievability factor and blows it away. Yeah,
there
for
can
you.
Be a little bit of that in any kind of fiction, because sometimes that makes it a little bit more fun. And I can accept a certain amount, but there sometimes gets to a point where it's like, yeah, I can't see that.
There's a term where they call it, it's the suspension of disbelief. And I like to call it the level of exaggeration.
Right.
So in order for a fictional story to make you feel entertained and to evolve in a certain way, you have to exaggerate something.
Yeah, you say that you have to. And have is like a strong word, because there have been stories, people we know in our real life, where we've said plenty of times, like, this is better than fiction. Yeah. You couldn't write this. If somebody wrote this as fiction, you would say that's too unbelievable. So,
okay,
But yes, I see, in generally speaking, yes, there is that.
So the technology is a device. It's not necessarily a main character, or it doesn't, you know, things exist inside VR in this book, but they could exist outside in the real world, but it's just the fact that they're in VR. It's a device. It's a mechanism. It's not necessarily a huge story, you know, component to the point where it's like it all relies on the VR. Let's take a look at that technology. You have seen VR. You have tried VR. Yep. You have watched the evolution. You were there the day I got my DK1. You were there the day I got my DK2. Yeah. You were there the day the consumer version came out. Yeah. You were there when we got the PSVR, the Gear VR, all of it.
Right.
You've tried it all. You did the original OG Rift Coaster on the DK1.
Yep.
You know, what do you think when you heard the technology in that book?
Yeah. It's not too far from what is available now, and maybe not even in like the mainstream. Like, I can, you know, go down to the store and pick something up off the shelf, but these things are, like, from stuff I've heard from, like, these things are on their way, basically, for the most part.
You asked me a question while you were reading it. You came down and you're like, hey, haptic.
Right.
What exactly did you ask me?
The haptic. Like, I was just saying, there was a lot of words in there that, had I not been hanging around you and watching and listening to what you were doing, that a lot of these words wouldn't mean as much to me. It would have been harder to follow along in the book had I not had a little bit of background on some of these things.
Okay.
And had I not grown up also in the 80s, that's like a little bit part of it. Like, with the, I could see where somebody could possibly lose interest at certain things because they just didn't understand what was being referenced at all. And it's not that I understood every aspect of everything they were talking about, but I had enough of a background that I could follow along and it could keep me interested.
So you think that you had an easier time understanding some of this stuff because of pre-established knowledge or references that you heard from me and
so you were saying, like, the haptic like, I was like, oh, you've got, like, haptic, you know, and you're like, well, that word, like, yes, they've used that word for a long time,
haptics is just, you know, force feedback, resistance, you know, there's a bunch of different terms, but it, and I showed you my example, do you remember what I showed you,
like, to leaning on a table, like,
if you can lean on a table in VR and it can hold your weight and support you, that's true haptics. Until we get to that point, because buzzing gloves.
Yeah,
you right. know, it's just it's like neat. A vibration from your phone.
Right, you know, it's not... neat. Again, maybe for like a younger audience too. That's like there's more, but yeah, right. You want mm-hmm. to be fooled,
right,
of the situation you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now you probably also noticed that in the book, as he got more money, his mm-hmm. technology increased.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went full throttle there uh-huh, for a while uh-huh. and had all sorts of cool gloves and mm-hmm. suits and things like
yeah.
that. One of the criticisms that I've heard about this book, and I've not shared this with you,
okay.
and I want to see what your opinion is that the author has cashed in on 80s nostalgia.
Sure.
And has used that as a way, a device in which to play on the emotions of a generation and get you to like his book because of all the references.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I see what you're saying. Do you think about that?
Well, I mean, sure, why not? That's okay. I mean, everything else, every toy that's, you know, ever been designed, oh, not every toy. But lots yeah. of them, yeah.
Like G.I. Joe, He-Man, yeah. Barbie.
Yeah, you like, what, 20-minute long commercials for toys.
Well,
like,
right. I mean, you know, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers.
So, in a way, you could say that was brilliant because the book, like, that was in, like, a time when, like, yes, all those commercials made you buy the toys.
Right.
So that...
Yeah, same with breakfast cereals yeah. and things like yeah. that. You know, speaking of breakfast cereals, mm-hmm. I have had in my possession... for a few years now, a little blue whistle.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Now, at some point, you would have had to have understood. Well, first of all, did you know what that whistle was prior to reading the book?
Nope.
So what did you think about me having this little plastic
blue whistle? Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, before you got it. Like, obviously, when you got it, you were, like, showing it to me and explaining it to me. Yeah. But before that, no, I didn't know that existed. You had to teach me that. Yes. So... I mean, you knew about it long before.
Well, I knew it before, but I knew about it before even the book existed.
Right, right.
Because I'm up on my yeah. hacker lore.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, right. cap and courage.
No, I didn't have any idea before that.
Though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you were reading the mm-hmm, book,
but, right.
and got to that point,
mm-hmm. did, I was like, ha ha, yeah.
Yeah, it made sense to mm-hmm. you then.
Right.
Okay. Did you suddenly find it cool that we had one?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're like, oh, cool.
I know. It's not even in my, like, it's, yeah, it's not even my thing. And I still thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I still would have wanted one.
Right. You would have wanted, no, seriously, you would yeah. have wanted one.
And it's not even my thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you say your thing, it's not, because you're not into, like, hacker lore and things like that.
And just collecting, just, yeah, like, I don't want to say, like, little nerd.
Nerd stuff?
Nerd stuff.
Speaking of nerd stuff, we're sitting here staring at a shelf of pop Funko characters. We've got Battle Armor He-Man, Kurt Cobain, and then we've got this Hot Topic exclusive transparent Parzival.
Yeah, and one of them's yours, and one of them's mine, and we're sharing the third one.
Oh, the keys?
No, I know. Oh. I'm saying. Of the pop ones. We're sharing Parzival.
Oh, otherwise, we're sharing
He-Man's
Parzival?
He-Man's yours, Kurt's yeah. mine.
Okay.
And we're going to have to share Parzival.
So, and we also have the keys.
The keys, yes.
So we have a...
copper key.
Yeah.
A jade key.
Yeah.
A crystal key.
That's right. And we have all three of these. They were part of a display at Hot Topic.
Yep.
Having read the book, knowing a movie is coming out, seeing all of these tchotchkes mm-hmm. all over the place, what is your thought on the marketing so far of this?
I've only seen it at Hot Topic. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it anywhere else?
Well, we were at that Think Geek store in the mall.
Oh, that's right. They had
some
figures.
There as well. Yeah. Right.
Right. I haven't seen it anywhere else. So, but yeah, why not? I mean, everything else has... that merchandise, why not this as
no
well?
Like, right, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just okay, there's been, you know, let's dig into movie mode here.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg is doing this movie.
Yes.
Okay, now you have grown up consuming Steven Spielberg movies. Sure. Okay. I mean, just E.T. was one of my favorite movies of all time as a kid. I cried the day I saw it for the first time at the drive-in. Okay. I mean, we saw it as a triple feature at a drive-in.
Wow.
Okay. Do you know? Ooh, good trivia question. Do you remember what the other movies were?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
It was a triple feature drive-in movie. The first movie was The Dark Crystal, which you're not a fan of.
No.
E.T.
Yeah.
And then the third movie, I think, was Savannah Smiles.
Huh. Do you remember that movie? Never seen it. I've heard of it.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think I fell asleep before. But anyway, you know, E.T., that was embedded into my brain. Yeah.
I like E.T.
You know, and Spielberg has been involved in so many other movies. I mean... But for me, E.T. was like, okay, this guy knows how to make movies. That was, for me as a kid, that was like the first time I'm like, okay, everything this guy does for the rest of his life is going to be awesome. Okay. Other than Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I would say that it's, you know, and just as a little side note, if you leave, if you turn that movie off right before... they go into that, like, before they meet the aliens, and then skip ahead to the wedding.
I haven't seen that movie.
Oh. Anyway, there's a way to fix
Kingdom
of the Crystal Skull. There's a way to fix it. It's not that bad. Anyway, there's a lot of people who are concerned that this movie is going to suck.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, who knows?
Okay. No, there's some people who are really worried.
Well...
okay, you've read the book now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the
movie? I did actually say that with me enjoying the book so much, there are certain things where I'm wondering how they're going to portray, like, the same feeling I have for the characters in the book.
All right.
And I hate to be that cliche person. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I've read a lot of books and then seen a lot of movies, and some movies do a really good job. Some of them are very close to the book, and I'm, like, pleasantly surprised. There are some that you're like, oh my gosh, it was awful, 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 awful. But, I mean, you have to go in expecting it. Somebody, as they're reading it, may not picture everything exactly the way you do. So, there's always going to be some room for, you know, different, you know, opinions on how to do things. What could they possibly do that would be so outrageous that it would make it a deal breaker?
Okay. What if I said... that in order to get the copper key in the movie, they have a drag race or a car race to get the key.
Is that really what happens? Well, right, that wouldn't really make sense. And what would be the need to do something like that?
Add some level of action adventure type of...
Well, I think there's enough action in the book. I mean, I understand the, like, truncate things, but... and, you know, there's certain things sometimes in books, like unnecessary details where the movie will still be, you know, everybody will understand what's going on. It's still a good movie with leaving a few little details out. But I don't know why you would change something completely like that.
I have read numerous books that have been turned into movies. And most of them piss me off to a point where... why did they do that? Oh, why did they cut that? That's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Now the whole book has, or the whole movie has a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like look at Forrest Gump.
I never read the book.
Oh, so, you didn't? No. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, the book is way more than the movie. Like, I don't even know how they would even
make... the movie's so great, though. I mean...
right, but you say that because you didn't read the book.
Sure.
I like the movie, but I like it as being almost different than the book.
Okay.
It's almost like its own separate entity.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Ready Player One is me getting another story with the same characters. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same.
I don't know. To be very honest, I don't really know what to expect because of the fact that it takes place like in this digital world, and they have, you know, I don't know how the characters are going to be. Are they going to be like real actors in a digital world still acting? Or are they, is this going to be, that part going to be computer generated?
Did you see, like, Avatar?
I mean, I saw parts of it, but I didn't like
Okay. Yeah, they're doing it like that, where it's mocap. It's like real actors moving around with, okay, like the little dots all over them,
okay,
and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm sure they have some amazing, mm-hmm, person, mm-hmm, who is in charge of all the motion, sure, capture. I bet that guy is one of the smartest people that you could possibly ever meet.
Okay.
I mean, I bet he's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I'm serious. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be done well, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something called, a term called the Uncanny Valley. Mm-hmm. Have you heard me talk about this before?
I've heard, yeah. But okay.
So the Uncanny Valley is that weird place where a CG character is human enough that you recognize that it's human.
Okay.
But right, fake enough, right, that you can't, you know it's not real.
Right.
And it's just enough to drive you crazy.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like we're going to be right there in that, okay, uncanny valley. Okay. The reason Avatar works is because they're not human.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't expect them to look perfectly human. It's when they're, right, looking perfectly human that you're like, eh, no, that's weird looking. It's...
But, yeah, these guys, like, and they mention in the book that their avatars, while based somewhat on them,
yeah,
like, they weren't, like, they didn't look exactly like them. So, I mean, I don't know, yeah, what they're going to do in that case.
Well, I mean, you can see right, some of the characters.
Right.
I want to ask your opinion as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about H?
Oh. I was a little surprised.
So, again, spoiler alert. H was portrayed throughout the whole book
as male,
as a dude, yeah, that hung out with Wade, yep, with Parzival, yep, and H, we didn't know H's real name.
Right.
We just knew he went to another school, right, somewhere, and they were bros, you know, right, they were, yeah, buds, yeah, and, you know, then you find out, mm-hmm, H is actually an African American lesbian.
Yes.
Surprised?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you did have a different picture in your mind the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work for you? Like, in your brain, because when you read a book,
right,
you build a mental image of this character.
You do. And then sometimes, like if you do see, like, a movie based, uh-huh, on a book, you're like, oh, I didn't picture him like that. And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I was a little surprised. But then, like, after you found out her true identity, his true identity.
Yeah.
Like, you were like, yeah, okay. Like,
it just, right, worked.
Yeah.
It just worked.
It worked. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like that cool little spin on something that, yeah, it was like, oh, that's surprising as hell. I remember when I read it for the, mm-hmm, first time, and I got to that point, I went, oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have never. What a huge, right, like, you know, right, twist to the story.
Right.
But then it didn't change anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
The character just suddenly had a different mental image.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, I knew a African American lesbian,
uh-huh,
and when I found out that that's what, mm-hmm, H was, I immediately transitioned the character in my brain to look like,
okay,
her.
Okay,
like she just became her.
Okay.
Like that was it.
Yeah.
H became,
yeah,
that represent, because my brain immediately gravitated to, oh, mm-hmm, well, wait a minute, what should H look like,
yeah,
now? Oh, okay, well, here's a frame,
right,
of reference for,
right,
me.
Right,
you know, it's kind of like, well, okay. When you pictured Wade,
mm-hmm,
versus Parzival,
yeah,
did you picture them as the same?
For the most part, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about Artemis?
Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I felt that same. Yeah.
Yeah. Your brain immediately,
uh-huh,
tries to give an avatar human,
sure,
characteristics,
mm-hmm,
and human feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's another character, Irok,
mm-hmm,
who is kind of like, kind of a douche, kind of a dick,
yeah,
you know, and they're, I think they're playing his character up a little higher.
Yeah. I think you had mentioned
in the
right,
movie,
right,
to give them, I mean, I don't know. He's just kind of that typical loser, poser. He just represents that person. He basically is like a human manifestation of Reddit. Okay. He's just, it's like, okay, here's this character, I-Rock. Do you think, like, there's room for his character to become more?
I don't know. Like, I can't picture exactly how they're going to do that, what they're going to do to make him a bigger character.
If you had to pick a part of the book and go, how are they going to do that in the movie?
Ah, shoot. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things.
I probably did think that from time to time, but nothing, like, off the top of my head right now.
Is there anything critical in the book that you're like, oh, man, they can't cut this out?
I mean, I don't know. You, like, have that's the to thing. Have I kind of hope that they don't cut anything out.
You're right. But...
yeah, I don't know. I'm really anxious, not just because I'm like, okay, I want to see, because I love the book. I want it to be exactly like the book, and I'm so excited to, like, see, you know, what I just read again. But, like, I'm just curious to see, like, how they are going to manage this. Like, not in, like, a negative way, but, like, how are they going to do this? How is this going to go? I'm really curious to see. And I'm glad that I waited this long to read it now.
Oh, because, really?
Well, now it's fresh in my mind. Like, the kids had said, oh, now I feel like I need to read it again before the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think your dad had even mentioned, like, oh, yeah.
He wants to read again, too.
And
He had said he went to the library to try to get it. Yeah. And it was, like, 200 or 300 people waiting list. Yeah.
Completely different state. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
There's got to be certain pieces. I'm excited. I hope that they don't cut. There's one piece of the book that I really love. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's when... the Johnny Five is taking the bomb up to kill the guy inside the castle. I kind of just pictured like,
he's just
rolling along.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie Short Circuit? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay, in Short Circuit 2, there's this opening sequence where the guy's building little versions of him, and one of them takes off down the street and goes into like a mall and goes up over.
Yeah.
I kind of picture. Like an homage to that opening sequence in the, you know, walking along with a bomb, What about all the big giant robot fights?
I mean, it's no different than any other movies that exist. I mean, they can do all that now. So, yeah, I mean, but the funny thing is in those, what I call like boy movies that a lot of those times where there's like fight sequences and stuff, like I get bored with those. It's just like the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm sitting here watching them go row, pew, 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 back and forth, like, and then it's like, okay, finally it ends. I don't know, I feel like reading the book now, I'm gonna be able to follow along better. It's not gonna seem so much just like pew, pew, pew.
So instead of just pew, pew, pewing, you have some frame of reference.
Yes, okay.
So maybe that's what we need to do, is to get you to appreciate more sci-fi and fantasy.
See, while there was some sci-fi, there was enough believability. Is that a word?
I don't know. Yeah.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is. That that it made it entertaining for me. There was enough. Yeah.
Okay.
You go too far in the sci-fi direction, you're going to lose. You're not going to win every time, Kyle.
Oh, okay. If I can just win once in a while.
Yeah.
Because this, you know, I think I won here. I feel like I won.
Yeah.
Here, not only have you read a book that I'm very happy about, you're looking forward to the movie based on the book. Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is
heck, I've even got a shirt, okay? I got a t-shirt.
You did.
And I guess I'll wear that when we go see the movie. Like, again, I always laughed at, like, the Star Wars people. Like, okay, guys. And the Harry Potter people with the scarves and stuff. Like in the wand to the movie theater. Like, come on, guys. Like, I mean, I'm not going to bring a key with me, but...
I am.
No, you're not.
I'm wearing my Captain Crunch whistle around my neck. I'm going to have the keys in my pocket.
Isn't it Cap'n
Crunch? It's Cap'n Crunch. Oh, you always say that to me. Captain Crunch, Cap'n Crunch, whatever. Ugh. So, if they did a Ready Player 2,
oh boy,
what would the sequel be to this book?
I don't know. I mean, are they? They could just because.
What?
Okay, at the end of the book,
yeah, like you literally just finished it.
You think that Parzival does realize that there's more to life than just being in a virtual world, that he. Halliday says that, you know, like, kind of don't miss out on what I missed out on you know, I was so stuck in this virtual world that I missed out on life itself. So I think they could go, but then that would kind of go, I don't know. I don't know what they could do. They could do, I guess, you know, a love story with him and Artemis. And then...
Do you think him and Artemis end up together? Well, like, forever?
I don't know. I guess, yeah. I mean, when you meet, you think, oh, gosh, I'm going to be with them forever. And then, you know, sometimes things happen.
Because they're also gazillionaires now.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. They. I guess the right author could make an awesome part two, but who knows? Who knows?
If you ask people who are in the VR scene and who are passionate about, you know, nerd culture mm-hmm. and geek culture, there is a very obvious parallelism between Halliday and John Carmack.
Okay.
And have I talked enough about John Carmack for you to see the parallelism there?
I guess so.
Okay. Okay. When you picture Halliday, what do mm-hmm. what do you picture?
Well, in what way?
Do you relate him to another character that you've seen before?
No.
Or
not really.
You know, like what kind of person is he?
A very intellectual, geeky guy that has at this point, well, before he died.
Well, he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that he had made himself a pretty big, and that it's not just his fortune that he made, but more like an empire is more. I don't know what to say, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have an image in my mind, but yeah.
If you had to pick an actor.
Oh, to play?
To play him.
Oh, cause I don't even know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of an odd one, right? That's kind of hard because without having that reference mm-hmm. of knowing that it's supposed to be this kind of John Carmack / Steve Jobs type of character, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for you to gauge.
Introverted.
Yeah. Yeah. Very introverted.
Okay.
Okay. What about Ogden Morrow?
Yeah.
What about him? What do you picture when you...
I mean, again, I'm picturing something. I don't really quite know how to describe what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, for me, Ogden Morrow has always been a Steve Wozniak type of guy.
Okay.
You know, a jolly, portly fellow with a beard and a big grin.
Oh, you pictured portly. Did they say that in the book?
I don't know.
Because I wasn't picturing that for some reason. But
I bring that up is because for me... I believe that I know who these characters are supposed to represent.
Okay.
Okay, I think I know. And so I have this mental image. The reason I'm asking you is because the last actor on the planet who I could picture playing Ogden Morrow,
uh-huh.
Simon Pegg, is playing Ogden Morrow in the movie.
And you're like...
And I'm just like the last person he is not anywhere close. Now, don't get me wrong. Simon Pegg is awesome. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He's brilliant. I think he'll probably give me a character I'm going to enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, that's not what I pictured.
Yeah, that's hard with, yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I bring all that up is you are coming in with no frame of reference. You don't know who the people are supposed to represent.
Mm-hmm.
So you represent mm-hmm. mainstream consumer who is just going to go in and see the movie and not have ever read the book and not know what it means.
I don't know, but I might not dissect the movie apart like someone like you.
Right. So I think the perspective is going to be different from mm-hmm. people who are embedded in the geek culture and know the references and things like that.
Right.
Those people are going to see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll come out of the movie with a different thought on how they did
probably. Right.
versus
right.
us. So I'll be curious. We'll have to follow up on mm-hmm. it and see what that looks like. What else? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, do you think it'll be received well? Like, is the story good enough that this is going to be a blockbuster to end all blockbusters?
If they make a movie of equal to how great the book was, then yeah, I think people are going to love it.
What do you say about people who are critical of the book and say that it's trash?
Oh, are there a lot of people that say that?
Yes. Let's just say there is.
Really? Like, are you serious?
Yeah, there are some people who think it's garbage.
Well, I don't know why they think... Like, is there a reason... Like, is there something in the book that doesn't, like... They're like, well, you know, that video game's not really that way. Or there's not really... Are there things, like, are there, like, holes like that?
No.
Where people, okay.
No, it's pretty solid, actually. Okay,
that's also, because I don't know, again, like, all the nitty-gritty details.
You get a spelling different or a color wrong or something like that. That's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, that's where, like, some certain people would pick things apart like that. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know why you would rip it apart. Why would you?
I don't know.
You don't have to like all the same books as everybody else, but I don't know why you would necessarily rip it apart.
Okay. If this was considered young adult fiction, should this win a Newbery?
I don't know.
I mean, you've read Newbery Medal winners. Would you call this a timeless, instant timeless classic?
I don't know. An instant timeless classic.
I mean, should kids be reading Huckleberry Finn, Where the Red Fern Grows, and then Ready Player One?
Well, the thing is, like, we've had this conversation with books over the years. You've gone back and tried to read certain classics, and you're like, they just don't, you can't relate to them. Because they happen, they took place in a time so long ago, and not everything. Some stuff still can be relatable, but a lot of times you're like, yeah, that might have been great, like, in the 40s.
Right, right.
But yeah. I just can't relate to it now. So this would be for, you know, the current generation, that's for sure. So I guess it's got the potential.
When we watch Back to the Future 2, that takes place in the year 2015, or at least part of it does. Mm-hmm. The future part.
Yeah.
We exist now 3 years after
that's amazing,
the future that movie portrayed. How close did they get? How accurate?
Not very.
Not very, really. In 2045, do you think that this is going to be laughed at and gone?
Well, again, predict
for me.
There's so much of it that is so similar, like to the technology for the equipment and all that. I mean, they didn't really, I don't think they went too far off on a limb with this stuff.
So you think Ready Player One
is the condition of the real world, the United States? I mean, there are times where you're like, well, we're kind of going in a bad direction. But is it kind of, would it be that bad? Gosh, I hope not.
Yeah. Well, a lot can happen in 30 years.
But I don't know.
I think that it is, you know, because there's a whole thing about the world's either a utopia or a dystopia, typically in sci-fi future stories. Would you consider the world that they live in a utopia, a dystopia, or somewhere in the middle?
I don't know. I mean, I guess somewhere in the middle. It's not like, it's not a shambles.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're stacking trailers on top of each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I'd still say somewhere in the middle, though. I mean, it's not in the condition of Logan's Run.
Well, no, I mean, Logan's Run, that's a whole nother world. I
pulled that out of nowhere, but
well,
it's
a good reference. Do you think that you can see yourself living, like, let's just say 5-10 years from now, and everybody's living in a virtual world like the Oasis and doing everything in it? Could you see yourself doing that?
No, I can't. I mean, but I couldn't see myself, you know, reading a book on a tablet or listening, God forbid, listening to a book on a tablet. I never thought I'd see myself do a lot of things that have become, like, okay, digital calendar. Like, not having a paper calendar on the wall. Uh-huh. Never thought I would be able to get past that.
Yeah.
I got past that, and now I couldn't ever go back to that again. So who knows? But like, I want to interact with real people. I don't want everything to
You're still interacting with real people. You're just doing it over the internet in a virtual world.
I can't see myself like being fully
immersed.
Yeah. I can't.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what direction you go. You know, we'll revisit this 5-10 years from now, and we'll see. we'll see if you're immersed or not. Well, so we're going to go see the movie then.
Yeah.
We'll go see it the night it opens. We'll do a big premiere thing. We'll take the kids. Should be good.
Isn't that Thursday night, though?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Predictions? Big blockbuster? 100 million, 200 million, 300 million?
I don't know.
Opening weekend?
Is
it going to blow away?
How hard is it to like get into the millions on opening night? Not very hard.
No, but I mean, like, you don't want 12 million. What's,
okay.
You want 100 plus million.
Do you? Yeah. Okay.
You want, like, you know, because Wonder Woman broke a bunch of records, and then Black Panther broke a bunch of records.
Okay.
So we're talking about like billions.
Oh.
Like kind of thing.
We'll see.
Like hundreds of millions up to a billion. Well, we'll have to see. They'll get our money. We'll contribute.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't do that typically. We're not an opening night family.
No.
So we will. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So you don't regret reading the book?
Oh, no. I had a blast. I was good. Pleasantly surprised.
So are you going to... Was I right?
Yeah, you were right.
I was right!
Yeah.
Woo! We got that on record. Yeah, we got it on record. Yes, I was right. This has been a lot of fun. Obviously, this is... This sounded and felt more like a I Love Libby episode than it did a Reverend Kyle RevVR podcast episode. But I kind of felt like it overlapped enough that both audiences will appreciate it. And those of you who have listened to the RevVR podcast and you're looking for more content from me, hey, check out the I Love Libby show. You can go and check it out on iTunes and Stitcher, and there's one called TuneIn, and we're on iHeartRadio, and I registered with Spotify, but they haven't gotten back with me yet, and all sorts of fun stuff. It's out there, so go check out the I Love Libby Show. You can just go to ilovelibbyshow.com and download where we've got 10, I think this will be episode 11 for that. And then if you're an I Love Libby Show listener and you want to check out more VR stuff, then you can go check out the RevVR podcast, which is at revvrstudios.com. Both podcasts have Twitter, Facebook, email, all that fun stuff. Just go to the websites, check it out, and it's really cool. So was this fun for you? You got to record two podcasts at the same time. Kind of. Cool. Who's your favorite character out of Ready Player One? If you had to pick a favorite character.
I like Parzival.
You like Parzival?
Mm-hmm.
You relate to him?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, I don't know if I relate to him. Yeah. He's immersed in a virtual world his pretty much 24/7.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to interact. I mean, sometimes I don't want to interact with people either, but...
So maybe the VR is good for you then. Who knows? All right. I think that's a good way to end this. So I want to thank you all very much for listening. And have a good one.
Yeah.
Bye.